Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Slovakian-born New York-based jazz singer and lyricist Hanka G. She talked to us about her new 2022 CD, Universal Ancestry. It is her first album recorded and released in the United States. She was born in Slovakia and spent her childhood years in the Mongolian desert with her parents, who were professors of geology. Some of the first melodies she learned were Mongolian, and the experience left a profound mark on her life. Hanka has lived in New York City since 2016, where she performs at all the local jazz hotspots. It's a great story. Enjoy.
How are you, Joe?
I'm good. How's life?
It's good. Thank you very much. Busy. How about yourself?
Well, it's great. Yeah, that's a good problem to have, huh? To be busy?
Yeah, sometimes, you know?
Well, yeah, in your business, I would imagine it's a good thing. Well, I appreciate you taking some time out today. And I'm looking forward to talking to you about Universal Ancestry. You have quite a story.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me and for everybody who is going to listen to our talk.
Absolutely. So before we hop into this brand new album, you know, we've gone through quite a 2 years on planet Earth, and that includes all of us. And I'm wondering, as an artist, and, you know, performers and artists really went through a ringer with this, how did you do over this pandemic time, and how did this change you now that we're kind of coming out of it? You got a new album and chances to perform live.
Well, you know, like most of us, I think it was kind of a shock. And since it really dragged over like 2 years, I think it's been, you know, challenging, overwhelming at the same time. But earlier in that stage, I kind of decided to do this record, and I was thinking, like, well, maybe it's a good time for me to focus on trying to apply for some grants and gather the money. And then it turned out to be a good idea, because most of the people were at their homes. They weren't traveling, I mean, the musicians that I have called for the record. And thanks to that, I was able to pull this all together. You know, I got 14 musicians over there, so that's a lot, and many of them are very well-known, busy musicians that travel all the time. So I was lucky in a way to do that, and that kind of took my mind out of all the other stuff that was happening in the world, if you know what I mean. So I kept myself busy even without being busy performing or doing something else. Other than that, you know, I thought that we're coming out of this pandemic and that life would go back to normal, but the beginning of this year has been really influenced for me personally with the war in Ukraine, because my country, Slovakia, neighbors Ukraine, so I was very worried about my family and my parents, so that was very stressful. And I think when I started to tour a little bit more and get back gigs, and I did a really beautiful concert called Symphony Meets Jazz, where I performed with State Symphony Orchestra, or Philharmonic Orchestra in Slovakia. That was like a beginning of a good time, so I'm going to call it that way. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to what the future is going to bring, and I'm praying that we will not have to go through more struggle in the following years.
Well, and it has to feel great to have an album coming out now. I know a lot of people kind of sat on projects and they weren't quite sure when to come out. But now that things are really opening up, there's a lot of things that are getting back to what we were used to. This has to feel really good to be able to perform this live.
Absolutely, you know, so I can't wait. I'm working on everything myself. Sometimes very overwhelming for independent artists. And living in New York, you know, where you got to really work hard to make sure you pay the bills. But I'm very excited. You know, I got a great project coming out. Like I said, you know, I'd love to introduce some of the personnel on the record. I produced the whole record. I'm an executive producer on the record, but I produced it together with three great pianists, Rodney Kendrick, who is my special guest on one song by Abby Lincoln, Throw It Away. He's also, he used to work with Abby for many years. He was her musical director. We did a song, Throw It Away. And then I have James Hurt, a Blue Note artist, Blue Note record artist, who did so many great collaborations and recordings. He did majority of the song on my record in terms of arrangement, and he was also the first American jazz musician to rearrange jazz, rearrange Slovak folk music to jazz, which was great and fun experience. And then a third person on the record is a wonderful pianist and organist, multiple Grammy-winning artist, Shedrick Mitchell. So Shedrick worked with a lot of not only jazz singers like Dan Reeves or Didi Bridgewater, but he also worked with pop and R&B stars like Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, and he is a permanent member of a band of Maxwell. So it's a really interesting mix, but at the same time, super exciting. And I hope people will love the record.
And I guess that to expand on that, ultimately, you know, after putting that much energy with such a great lineup of folks, what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from the way that you've constructed this from an artistic standpoint and just overall?
Right. Well, you know, my thought and my kind of goal for the whole record was really to share love and share love and peace, because like the whole idea and the whole title is universal ancestry. And when I came to United States, which was about 6 years ago, I saw a lot of differences. I saw a lot of things going on. You know, I learned a lot about the history of this music, the history of this country. And I felt that really during the COVID, we've been so divided on multiple levels as people and with all these different conflicts across the globe. You know, I just thought I had this idea as an immigrant also in this country to unite people rather than divide them and unite them through the music, because all as a human being and as a human race, we have the same dreams, you know, that we share about love, happiness, family, and I think those are trying to be celebrated on this record.
So you were born in Slovakia. You've spent a long time in the Mongolian desert. You obviously have had a great mix of, you know, cultural backgrounds and a lot of different experiences. Talk to me about how jazz, you know, and the way that you made jazz became kind of your focal point.
Well, you know, I think it's reflected in my music that it's not the typical straight ahead jazz only, that there's so many other influences that I grew up on. Like you said, you know, I was born in Slovakia, so of course later on when we came back from Mongolia, I've been listening, I've been dancing and singing folk music, Slovak folk music, so that was like rooted in me. But at the same time, there was Mongolian culture that I was surrounded with, as both of my parents were professors of geology at that time. They're retired now. And we traveled the whole desert, not only Gobi, but Kente. We stayed some part of the year in Ulaanbaatar, which is their capital city. So, you know, I was influenced by Mongolian folk music, their throat singing, which is so interesting. And their folk music is similar to jazz in a way. You know, there's so many different harmonies. Obscure harmonies, you know, when you want to sing it. And that was an inspiration, but I think I tapped into it a little bit later because I was really charmed by Motown music later on. My father was an amateur player on guitar, so he was listening to Chuck Berry, Aretha Franklin, all the great artists, American artists, and playing some of their songs. And he brought me a lot of great records at that time from Russia, because let's not forget, you know, I come from an Eastern Europe, so we were under communism until 1989. And, of course, we couldn't get any Western music, and it was really hard to get it. So he usually traveled to Russia to get me the vinyls, and I was listening to Whitney Houston. I'm a child of 80s. And Michael Jackson, Dionne Warwick. So those were my earlier influences. And later on, as I was growing up, I was singing rock band and a pop rock band, I'll call it that way, funk. And then, when I was like 21 years old, I visited U.S. as I was studying American University at that time back home. They had a branch over there. During the summer break, I just went to D.C. On a program called Work and Travel. And at that time, I was looking for a job. And I saw in a newspaper this interesting job called singing service. So I thought, wow, that's amazing. Like, I can make some extra money and I can sing at the same time. So I basically took that job and started to sing in the Mimi's American Bistro at DuPont Circle. I don't think they exist anymore, which is a pity. But at that time, their musical director told me that I would be great in terms of singing jazz. My voice would be great in jazz. And that's how it really started. My sister, who is 6 years older, she was listening to jazz back home, but I was more into pop music at that time, which was natural as a young teenager. But I started to sing jazz in D.C., and I met so many great musicians and friends. And when I returned back to Slovakia, I never turned back, you know, so I continue singing jazz music, and I really loved it, and I sink my teeth into all the great instrumentalists and vocalists and started to listen and study.
So what was the first live jazz show that you ever saw that really blew you away?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, since I was in Slovakia, I can tell you what really blew me away was a tape or DVD with me that I had received from a friend of mine, and that was Betty Carter and her band. And that was a live concert that she was performing, and I was really blown away by her as an artist, by her as a singer. I thought that, wow, like what a force of nature, and how dare she was to challenge the industry by changing the melodies, how she commanded the band. So that really left a very strong impression on me. Later life, I saw Diane Reeves. I was really blown away by Diane Reeves. She is incredible live vocalist as well as recording artist, but her show that I saw and was live was like breathtaking, like the control of her voice and the way she can capture the audience was really amazing. And then later, of course, my mentor, Cassandra Wilson, I always adored her, and I think there's something really special during her shows as well.
So you arrived in New York City in 2016, and I'm wondering, did you always have a dream of coming to America to pursue your music career?
You know what? I really did when I was a small child, because I knew that simply we didn't have the options in our country that would be available in the United States. And I always thought, like, wow, what kind of career would I have if I would be born over here, or I would just be, you know, here as a child, because I was a great dancer. But later on, when I was as a 21-year-old in D.C., I just had a feeling when I left that one day I'm going to come back, because I wasn't returning even for vacation or nothing. And I was like, oh gosh, I miss the United States. It was so much fun. I wish I could go sometime. And somewhere deep in me, the feeling was telling me, like, don't worry, you're just going to spend a lot of time there. And I didn't know how I'm going to get there, but I just had this feeling. Of course, you know, as a musician, when you are in a country that does have a really great jazz scene, actually, for such a small country like Slovakia, where you have only 5.5 million inhabitants, really, when you don't have the tradition, it's very different. Like being in New York and being just breathing this air, I'll tell it like that, being surrounded with great musicians, left and right, wherever I go, you know, it's just a life-changing experience.
What kind of culture shock was it for you coming to the United States? Did you have a big one?
Totally. First time when I got here in New York, that was 2014, I visited, and I was going periodically during like vacation before I moved over here for 2 or 3 weeks, and I would hang out on the scene. It was a shock. New York has this vibe, and people know it who lived over here or even visited. It's very exhausting. Everything happens so fast, and everybody, is rushing from left and right. It's so noisy. So it was a big cultural shock, like starting from simple things like, basic life, grocery shopping, a completely different food, to the music and to people understanding the culture and the different culture, different cultures within the United States, and understanding, what people also love over here as an audience, which was different, to Europe.
So now that you see what's going on, with Russia and kind of how all of that's unfolding, do you ever look and think, as much as it's heartbreaking to see what's going on back home, do you feel any kind of relief or optimism being here in America and that, you're here and there's a chance that hopefully things can get better over there?
Yeah, I am absolutely praying for that, because I know the last time I spoke to my dad, he told me that the prices of a gas are going like skyrocketing, so they don't know what winter will bring. But for me, I had a chance to sing on our embassy when there was a 30th anniversary of Velvet Revolution, which for those who don't know, that's when when the democracy won over communism at that time. I had a chance to sing one of the hymns that were very popular in our country and was associated with Velvet Revolution, sang by Marta Kubišová. She was one of our very prominent singers. That particular song, when I was singing it in the United States, I just was overwhelmed. I really had tears in my eyes because I realized, how lucky and blessed I am that I have the freedom to travel, that I can have a freedom of speech, that I can decide where I'm going to be, if I want to follow my dreams, I can do that, you know what I mean? So I was really overwhelmed with that feeling. So that kind of stayed with me in a way in the United States, and I perceive the country as a country of so many options. I mean, you've got to be lucky, but at the same time, those who try and are ready and work hard, that, they are open to opportunities and they attract them.
So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician? It's obviously something that's both exhilarating and hard, I'm sure. But what is it that you look forward to every day being a part of this community of professional musicians in New York?
Mm-hmm. I really love live performance, and I really love when I can pass some joy and good feeling, some love to the audience, and that's the most above of everything. So the rest is just a hard work to get there. but once I'm singing, I'm in my zone, and it just makes me feel really good if I can pull the people from their daily problems, daily routines, and they could dream a little bit with me and just leave the concert feeling better, enlightened, a little lighter and happier.
So you've gotten a lot of awards over your career, and you won a Slovak Lifetime Achievement Award, and I'm curious, it's never fair to ask what your favorite one is, but I'm curious, what one surprised you the most? You just didn't expect it.
Yeah, I think I didn't expect this Lifetime Achievement Award, Jasmine of the Year, we call it, and it's actually named after Martoník, who was a trumpet player, a famous jazz trumpet player in my country back during communism, and he was killed by Russian invasion in 1968 by the tank. It was horrendous tragedy, and that's why they kind of wanted to keep his legacy alive with giving out this award. And I think it's like 30th year that they've been awarding the people. And the reason why I was surprised is that I was only second woman awarded with this award. That tells you a little bit about Slovakia, that it's very traditional and patriarchic, if I'm saying it correct. But in a way, we have a lot of male jazz musicians that are very strong on the scene, and then we as female artists really have to work twice hard to get that recognition. So I think I was a little surprised, but at the same time, I was very happy and grateful when I was given this award.
What is it that you love the most about jazz?
I think the freedom, you know, to express myself, that I can do it in so many ways. The freedom to be at the moment when you are performing, and you can communicate with the musicians, and each time the song can be played differently. You only have the basic rules, like I say, of the form of the song, but at the same time, you know, you could play it in so many ways. So I love that. I love the freedom of expression, and also freedom of creativity, that you can speak your life through this music, and that's something that really attracts me to jazz.
So if you had a dream tonight and you run into the younger version of yourself, say when you were around, you know, 20 years old, and you could give your younger version a piece of advice based on all of the years that you've lived and wisdom that you've accumulated, what would be the one thing you would tell your younger version?
Wow, you know what? That's a really good question. I think I would have stayed in U.S. at that time. I wouldn't go back when I was 21 and continue pursuing my music, because that was a really good age. I didn't realize really if you start your career early in 20s or being 20-year-old, like you have so much opportunities, you know, to study the school. And the way how it is at the moment, or what I'm seeing at the scene, is that once you study a good school and you get all these connections, you got so much more options to start up your career and just go and perform and get signed with a good label, or, you know, get a good manager or something. It's a little bit harder when you are a little older, like myself. I'm in my 40s, early 40s. But I feel like at the same time, you know what, it is what it is, in a way. Like I made a peace with my destiny, and I believe that God put me in this time for a reason. So maybe I would not be ready at that time, you know. So I usually don't contemplate what would be if it would be. I made a peace with what it is now. And I also think that I have so much life experience that I can also reflect it in my music. I think the listener feels it.
So if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see any performance live, who are you going to see? Where are you going to go?
Oh, wow. That's an amazing question. Oh, gosh, I would, you know what I would do? I would just be in somewhere around early 60s, and I would go to all the jazz clubs that were in New York. I would have like a 1 week of nonstop jamming with everybody on a scene. And gosh, you know who I would love to see if I could? Nancy Wilson, when she was like 24. She was just an incredible singer. I would love to see her, but hey, you know, it's just the one that came to my mind.
Yeah,
I would always love
it.
To see Abby or Abby Lincoln or Betty Carter, like at least once seeing Betty Carter in action. Wow, that would be amazing.
Absolutely. So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Wow. I think I'm a good human being, first of all, you know, who, you know, my grandma gave me this advice. She said always, like, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. So that's kind of my motto. I think I'm a multicultural now, a person, artist who is trying to make other people's life nicer with my music, hopefully.
I like it. Hey, thank you for taking some time out today to talk about the album, your life, and music. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me, and to everybody who is listening, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest singers in Slovakia, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Hanka G for her time, music, and honesty. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.